Blog Talk Radio.
Do you want to elevate your mind? Do you want to shift your life? Well, sit back and relax. It's time for another episode of The Shift with Skip. Get ready to roll.
Hey, get ready to roll, everyone, and happy, happy Wednesday. And here at The Shift, we call it Transformational Wednesday, or we call it that Hump Day. But, welcome to The Shift. I'm Skip Jennings. I'm your host for this 45 minutes of Transformational Radio. So glad to be online with you today. I missed you guys last week. It was I was out and about doing some things around the world, and I was at a convention in Chicago, and, you know, so doing what I love to do. I get to take the message out there of mind, body, spirit, wellness. So today we're talking about positivity, and I'm very, very excited about our guests. But before we introduce our guests, I'm going to give you your journaling exercise for this week. It's all about positivity. It's all about positivity. And I want you to, in your journal, to list all the ways that keep you in a positive frame of mind. When I'm thinking about positivity, I'm thinking about the things that we have a tendency sometimes to go to the negative sides. Sometimes we have a tendency to go to the positive side. And what is positivity to you? What does that look like? And are you aware when you're in a negative zone? Are you aware when you're being a Debbie Downer? Or are you aware of when things are maybe not going your way, and how do you handle that? Do you shift into a place of what's the positive outcome that could happen in this situation? One of the things I like to do is that when I'm being challenged by someone or something to help me to get back to a place of positivity, I always ask the question to the universe, what am I not seeing here, and what am I here to learn? So that automatically shifts me to a positive frame of mind. When you're willing to learn something through all the situations that you're in, then that's going to bring you to a higher vibration. One of my teachers once said to me, Skip, we have to learn how to live above the circumstances. And I believe that is shifting into a positive vibration. So say that something's not going your way, or someone's on your nerves and they're shaking you up at work or in your relationship. How can we live above the circumstances? How can we live above the situation? And that means going to a place of a positive outlook. So that's what the journaling exercise is all about this week. Remember, hit us up on Facebook. It's The Shift with Skip Jennings on Facebook. And Twitter, it is The Shift with Skip. Also, follow me. You can come and you can listen to all the past episodes for the last, you know, 2.5 years. Remember, we started the show with Annika Bond. It was The Shift with Anna and Skip, but you can go all the way back to our past episodes, and you can listen to that on my website at skipjennings.com/theshiftwithskip, and you can get all the past episodes. You can get it through Blog Talk Radio, and we are also a podcast that you can get through iTunes. So get your shift on from some past episodes. Also, don't forget, I have 4 DVDs out there that you can carry me home and you don't have to cook me breakfast. You can get your fitness on. I have 2 yoga DVDs. I have a strength DVD and a dance DVD that you can get. And it's also available downloadable onto your computer. And big exciting news, we're going to be launching a 10-week transformational course called CARES Transformational Course, Life Course, and that's coming your way in the spring, and we're actually at the very last stages of uploading that, and that's going to be downloadable to your computer as well, and that's going to be coming out very, very soon, and hopefully next month or so. So look forward to getting you some information out there. Also, the Lotus Kitchen. We're in the final processes of getting the Lotus Kitchen done, our cookbook about yoga and transformation and vegetarian cooking. So that's still coming up, hopefully by summertime. So look forward to getting that out to you as well. But enough from me. Let's get into our conversation with Shola Richards, and I'm so happy to have him online. He is the creator of the Positivity Solution, and I got a lot of questions for him. So help me welcome Shola online. Hey there, buddy. How are you?
Skip, how's it going? Thank you so much for the invitation. I appreciate you for having me on.
It's so good to have you on, dude. I got to tell you, from the moment that we started talking before we went online, my vibration shifted just by talking with you. You have such a great energy, and I see your picture on your website, and now we're Facebook friends, and you have a great smile. It's all positivity. I love it. Has you ever told you that before?
No,
have people told you that?
You know, it's funny. I think it's positivity embraces, because I have embraces for like 5.5 years. But I can tell you, it really, the smile is one of the things that I kind of use it as hopefully my calling card in a sense. When I was trying to create a logo for the Positivity Solution, I wish you guys could have seen what I came up with beforehand. But this is, I really wanted to smile because I wanted to be simple, and I believe that smiling is something that just changes vibration and shifts vibrations, and I'll always be using that as my calling card for as long as I live.
Oh, my goodness. That is so awesome. So tell me a little bit about the Positivity Solution. How did it come by? What was it? What was that big aha moment that you need to do this type of work?
Oh, yeah. I can gladly say that. So, gosh, many years ago, not too many, 10, I was, like most people, I had a job that was probably one of the most soul-crushing experiences of my life. And for anyone out there who's listening who can relate, I would go to work and I would be working with some of the meanest people who are backstabbing, mm-hmm. and gossip was the word of the day. Everyone was yelling and screaming at each other. It was really, leadership treated the staff horribly, and I would go home from work in a state of just complete just depression and misery. And it's funny because the story is something that I haven't really shared with many people before, but why not share this with you, the whole origin story behind the Positivity Solution. And one day I woke up one morning going to work, and I woke up and I felt just emptiness. I'm talking soul-crushing emptiness. There's nothing there, where everything was meaningless. And I don't know if anyone's ever experienced that feeling before, but it's a feeling where you wake up and you just, there's no reason to live. And I remember when I didn't even bother showering or brushing my teeth this morning. I just got in the car and drove to work. And as I was driving, I remember this moment, like I'll never forget this moment, where I felt like I was ready to take my own life, literally. And I was driving my car, and I felt something say, dude, just drive it. Drive it over the overpass. Just do it. Just do it. No one cares about you. Just, you can't spend the rest of your life in jobs like this, in situations like this. Just do it. And I remember that feeling, and I took my car on the 405 freeway heading down to Redondo Beach and from Los Angeles, and I took my car, and I drove it to the overpass, and my car, just as I was about to hit the guardrail, I swerved it back, and I got my senses about me, and I just started just sobbing hysterically in my car, just like, I'm talking like the ugly cry, you know, snotting and tears and just, and I'm sitting here in my car thinking, it was a beautiful thing, because at that moment I got my humanity back, and it was like, I'm finally back again. I went straight to my office with, I'm talking $200 in savings, and I said, I quit. I'm not gonna do this anymore. Now, I can't say that that's a suggestion that everyone should do, because I wish there was a happy, like, oh man, the minute I did that, everything changed. It was tough. It was tough for me. Right. But in the dark moments, they call it the dark night of the soul in some cases.
Yeah, absolutely.
When I'm sitting there in that moment, I thought of the millions of people who shared the same experience that I had. I thought of all the people who were in exact same situation where they were upset and they were alone and they felt like there's no one that could help them. I was like, maybe I can use my experience to help someone. Maybe if there's one person out there that's feeling the same pain that I'm feeling, I can use this pain to help them. And I started a blog that lasted for like 7 months, and I initially changed it to the Positivity Solution, and I just want to make the world more, at the risk of sounding like a Miss America pageant contestant, I want to make the world a better place.
Well, here's the thing, too, that what I love about you sharing that experience is that you've taken what would appear to be a breakdown, and you had a major breakthrough. And what Maya Angelou and one of my great teachers, she always said, she used to say that once you learn, you got to teach. So you had your learning experience, you had your breakdown to a breakthrough, and you're willing to go out and teach and share with the rest of the world. And I think that is what we are called to do. That is what we're called to do. That's pretty awesome.
Without a test, there is no testimony, right? So it's like,
hey now, and now you're in, and if it doesn't challenge you, it won't change you. And it seems like you had a massive change and shift. So I got to ask you this, though, with the $200 in your pocket and you quit your job, what was the next, let's say, 6 months like for you? What was your journey like?
It was tough. You know, I got a moment where I got to really get real with myself and determine where I wanted my life to go. When you're struggling and you're don't have a lot of money and you're trying to figure out how to make meaning of your life, it's pretty tough. And I was coming from a place where I had nothing to really – I didn't have a whole ton of skills. One thing that I can say I'm better at most people, I give a damn about people. That's my talent. Like that's all I've got. So for the next 6 months where I was just using this as like, hey, I'm going to try to find out what pain people are feeling and maybe start writing about it. And then I got a job, you know, as a trainer, training on topics around work and really making workplace better. And this is my passion. I read, work, study, and I've spoken to over 10,000 people on this ever since I launched this, and changed really not just my life, which is an obvious thing, but I feel like this has touched the lives of a lot of different organizations, a lot of different people to realize. You brought up Maya Angelou, and she's my girl, and I love her. And the quote, we'll fight over her. And one of the quotes that kept me, one of the things that kept me going was my favorite quote of Maya Angelou is like, you know, I learned that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel.
Exactly.
And I believe this is one of the things that I part of my whole life around this and the positivity solution. If there was one quote to kind of make that the main quote, that's the quote that I live by.
So let me ask you, in your opinion, your experience, and your insight, what is positivity?
Oh, it's funny. A lot of people have a lot of definitions of positivity, and if you look in the dictionary, it's actually just shown simply as the state of being positive, which doesn't really help much, right?
Right.
So what does that mean? And if positive, and just the word positive means showing progress, gain, or improvement, that's also cool. But my definition is different. My definition of positivity is the act of consistently using kindness and mutual respect to create improved outcomes. So the reason why this is so important is that there's two words in here that are measurable, at least to me. Just saying improved outcomes is not enough, but it's the act of consistently using kindness and mutual respect. Right. Two things that change the world. I mean, if you're looking at kindness, I describe kindness as just having a benevolent nature and helpful towards others. And mutual respect is actually caring about other people's feelings and well-being. If more people did that, how much more positive would the world be? We don't have to overcomplicate this stuff. And I think this is the biggest issue. People talk about, like, well, we need to do all these different surveys and get double-blind studies. I'm like, no, we don't. We just need to be nicer to each other. I mean, we just have to start there. I mean, if you ask anyone who's struggling at work, I would be willing to bet anything that the reason why they don't like their job is not because of the work that they're doing. It's who they have to do it with. And that comes down to, are they kind? Are they respectful at work to people? And that's what causes challenges. I want to up the positivity by having people be kinder to each other and more respectful to each other.
So, you know, and that's a key point. I think if people actually have a clear definition of what kindness is and the act of kindness, then they're able to participate in the act of kindness. And I think it takes a lot of I think a lot of people don't know what it means to be kind in the workplace or even in their own personal life. And I think that's a journey of finding your positivity, of finding kindness within your life. So I went to your website, and I'm following you all over the place through Twitter and Facebook now and all that. So I went to your website, and you have a great downloadable gift for people who sign up, and it is called 7 Simple Steps for Dealing with the Most Challenging People in Your Life. It is a definitive guide for dealing with extremely difficult people. Yeah. I love that because I deal with really difficult people quite a bit. Let's just talk about this. And in your own experience, if someone's dealing with people that are difficult in their life, how can they block that energy so they don't become the difficult person themselves?
I think that's it's a great question. It starts, first of all, with awareness, right? I mean, I think one of the challenges, if you were to ask anyone, like, hey, have you ever worked with someone who has an attitude problem before? And everyone raises their hand, right? But one of those people have to be the person with the attitude problem, right? So a lot of people don't realize that they have attitude problems, or they're part of the problem that they're trying to fix. So I believe one of the best things to do is to have someone who's accountable to you and you're accountable to them to just keep you honest and keep you in check. Like, are you difficult? Are you challenging? Because if wherever you go, you're around challenging people. No matter where you go to the supermarket, people are challenging. You go to work, people are challenging. You go to church, people are challenging. Then I got to say, you got to look in the mirror, man, and start there and be like, that's probably part of the problem. You got to work with you first. So we got to get that out of the way. So that's the first thing. After we get past, you know, the obvious, where if you're pretty clear that you're not the problem and you're not being difficult yourself, I just think one of the steps, too, is to just make sure that you're let go of your need to be right. This is a hard one for a lot of people. And it was tough. I spent a lot of my life wanting to be right, and without understanding what it meant to be right. So let's say I was right. What does that actually mean? Do I get something for that? Do I add that on my resume? Like, Shola's always right. Like, is that my summary statement? It doesn't help me at all. So when given the
There's a T-shirt you get that says, I'm right. You're not.
And everyone gets to run away from you. You have no friends. You get to cover your T-shirt in your rightness all by yourself. Like, that's not quite the way to do it. I found what's more important for me than being right is being happy. I'd rather be happy. I'd rather choose happiness instead. So if someone wants to hold on to being right, they can have their rightness. They can be right. But I wanted to choose that. And that's one thing that when I was fighting to be right, the sad thing is I wasn't happy. And so I wanted to shift that. So I think when dealing with difficult people, that also makes a difference too. I also think changing the way you look at people. You know, a lot of people talk about killing them with kindness as well. That's another thing but killing them with kindness is one of the things that I think gets kind of lost. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, you know, someone's being rude to you and hateful. You just got to smile. I mean, sometimes you don't have to get into the fray, but I'm not saying you're going to take abuse and just roll over and take it. I feel like this is not about ignoring bad behavior. Right. It's about transcending it. This is where I believe positivity comes in, where you know, I can tell you, Skip, if I can be real here, well, in my line of work, of course, right? Permission to be real? I just want to throw that
absolutely
out there.
Absolutely. Please do.
In my line of work, I get a lot of hate, man. A lot of – you wouldn't think so, right? Because, you know, the positivity is like, who doesn't like positivity? Well, a lot of people.
Right.
I go around and I smile a lot. I'm a smiling guy. I'm a happy guy, and I try to spread positivity. But honestly, I get a lot of people who look at me, and they're like, look at him. He's so corny. He's so fake. Look at him. He's such a punk. Can't stand this dude. And I mean, and I got a lot of it. But one of the things that I believe in wholeheartedly is when I get all this stuff, no matter what it is, no matter all the things in the guide, please feel free to download for more details, but I can tell you one thing that's a bonus material that I'm going to give you that's not in the guide is when I'm dealing with these people that are haters and giving me all sorts of issues, and whether it's at work or outside of work, I know what I value. And I'm telling you, when you realize what you value, it will save you more often than not. I have situations where I was stuck in horrible, horrible situations with a lot of rudeness and a lot of mean-spiritedness, and I locked into what I value. I value positivity. I value being the man that my mom and daddy raised me to be. Mm-hmm. And when I'm dealing with people who are difficult, I lean back to what I value, how I was raised. And I know that every person listening to this knows what they value. They value friendship. Right. They value being positive. If they're raising kids, what values are you teaching them? Those are the things that I have people remember and think about when they're dealing with these type of things. A perfect example of this, Skip, I'll give you a quick example. And it's a little intense, but, you know, it's a good example to kind of show you how positivity works in my world. So July 4th, 2014, last year, some of my listeners or readers know the story well, but I'm sure maybe some of your listeners do not. I was in Westwood, California. Getting some. I went to go to the gym early in the morning. This is on July 4th, holiday, so the day off. And I was going to the supermarket, and I was in the parking lot by myself. It was Bristol Farms. It was a small store, so there wasn't a whole lot of people in the parking lot. Actually, it was me and another person in the parking lot. As I was walking into the store, I felt this woman staring at me. Now, you know what it's like when someone's staring at you. You just kind of feel like,
yes,
looking at me, right?
Yes, yes.
So,
right.
I want to share the story because this is what positivity is all about, in my opinion. I was going to the supermarket, and all of a sudden this woman's staring at me, and she's in her car. She's parked in her car, and I had to walk past her to get into the store. And as I was going towards the store, the woman rolled down her window as she wanted to say something to me. Of course, I'm smiling like I normally am, and I looked at her and I smiled back. And then she rolled down the window, and she proceeded to be like, "You dirty N-word, what are you doing? Get out of our country. This is the 4th of July. We're celebrating our country. You make me sick, you filthy."
Oh, my goodness.
And she spit at me. She spit at me. And then she drove away. Now, I'm sitting here like, whoa.
What just happened?
What happened here? What's beautiful, though, is that I believe in positivity. And what I did is that people are like, whoa, what did you go ahead? You curse her out? I'm like, no. Like, what? Listen, for me, I'm not going to be part of the problem that I'm trying to fix. I refuse to do that. So for me, I transcended it. And everyone's like, oh, man, you let an opportunity pass. I'm like, no. For me, it doesn't move the conversation along for me to grab a rock and throw it at her car she's running away or cursing her out. I think about my daughters. I think about my wife. I think about my friends. I think about my readers. I think about the solutionists that read what I do. I believe in it. I value positivity. And one of the ways to do it is just to let it know that that didn't have an effect on me.
One of the things that Einstein always says is you cannot solve the problem on the level of the problem. And Martin Luther King was faced with this throughout his ministry, the movement, and we see it time and time and time again. Those that transcends the problem are those that are willing to go to the higher place, the higher realm of the vibration. So let me ask you, what was your biggest shift from that? What did you learn from that situation?
From that situation, one of the things that I learned is pretty much almost verbatim what you said, is that I will never be able to solve the problem with the level of thinking that created it. So
yeah.
I'll never be able to. It's so easy to be driven by emotions and allow that to do something and scream and yell. But in the end, I want to make this world a better place, and I want to set an example. And what's interesting is that what that woman saw in my face when she did that was peace. She didn't see me screaming back at her. And what's interesting is when she realized it, I'm thinking that she might have driven away and feeling maybe good in the moment, but I'm thinking when she looked back on it, like, wow, I just completely attacked a pretty decent guy for no reason. Maybe she'll think about it. Maybe that's how the shift changes with her.
Well, I hope so.
Right.
And the follow-up question to this is, how did you change the way you saw her in that moment? We can be more mindful about it, but in that moment when your ego is bubbling up, how do you shift the way you see that difficult person?
Simple. I saw her scared. She's scared.
Wow.
Scared.
Well,
fear drives behavior. If we really break it down, it's all about love and fear. Everything comes down to that. And when if you're in a dark room, the only way you change is by turning on the light, right? And by adding more darkness to a room to turn on a light doesn't make any sense any more than fighting fire with fire. I've never seen a fireman run into a burning house with a flamethrower before, right? You don't fight fire with fire. You don't fight darkness with darkness. What you need to do is you get water to the fire just like you turn light on. So I saw fear, and I just want to respond with love.
I think that's one of the biggest things, and I know in your opinion, is that one of the biggest things that you see when people are being difficult is that they're in an absolute place of fear?
Yeah. Let's take it back to the workplace for a second. So when you see managers, micromanagers, or yellers or screamers or bullies, these people were are living, they are so scared. And whatever reason, they had moments where they realize that the fear controls them and their actions. So they feel that, of course, if I instill the same fear in others, I'll get the same level of control, because they don't feel in control of their lives or their careers because they're so racked with fear. So when I look at these people who do these things, who bully and are mean and make all sorts of weird, rude comments to people, I just look at these people as scared. And when my job is to help these folks realize that there's nothing to be scared of. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But when I do my work with workplaces, especially people that struggle working together as a team, that's really one of my specialties. I deal with people who are negative, that are rude, and I've seen the worst that the workplace has to offer. I challenge anyone listening to this if they've ever seen the worst stuff that I've seen in my career, in the work that I've done since I started the Positivity Solution. And I pride myself in working with these groups to find a way to make it better and a way to help them. But it all comes back to fear. That's what causes a lot of negativity.
Is the type of work that you do, is it conflict resolution, or are you being more proactive, giving them tools so they don't get to the point of being difficult?
It's interesting. Probably both. But if I had to make a choice between the two, I believe that the best remedy is prevention for anything. Mm-hmm. So if there's a way to kind of set people up for success, it makes a lot of sense. But when things have already gone kind of awry, I'm called in, you know, like, listen, can you come and work with our team or work with our department or work with our company? And we get real. And not just real for real sake, but real for improvement's sake. So when people leave, they have an actionable plan of how they're going to make their workplace better. That's really important to me. I really want to make sure that things get better after they get to hang out with me for a little bit.
Cool. And, you know, so speaking, getting real, you have here on point five, you say, be assertive, not an ass. Okay, so come on, tell us what's the difference and how can we be assertive and not an ass?
Well, you know, I find it, like, it's just, when you're assertive, you're doing something where you're standing up for yourself in a positive and respectful way. That's really all it's about.
Okay.
It's just like, you know, being an ass is about just getting your needs met with force and don't care about how everyone else thinks. So let's say, for example, easy example, someone just happens to leave, like, the break room a mess. Like, they just spill coffee all over the place and don't clean up after themselves. You know, one of the ways to be a total ass would be to pile up the empty cups in the person's cubicle and be like, hey, you forgot to clean this up. Like, that's being an ass, right? That's not helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Or screaming at someone like, I'm sick of this. You guys, is not a college dorm room. Clean up after yourself. Like, that's also not helpful
either. Right.
But I think assertive is simply just standing up for yourself in a very positive and respectful way. Hey, guys, are you planning on cleaning up the mess in the break room? It's really important that people keep this place clean. That's not being a jerk. No one's yelling at you for it. It's just simple, clear, and gets the job done. I find standing up for myself is something that I've always struggled with because I'm sure maybe some people can relate. I grew up bullied as a kid, so I always felt I really struggle with standing up for myself and having a voice. So being assertive was something I would avoid conflict consistently and just kind of got walked over because of it. But as I like to say,
yeah,
what you
like
allow.
I don't like conflict either. I don't like conflict. And I'm the type of person that I would rather go, okay, cool, and walk away.
Yeah.
And so I just don't like, even in my own personal relationships, I don't like to argue. So I'd rather go, oh, it's okay, it's cool, everything's fine, even when it's not. And even on that side of it, that's not authentic. That's not good for you either. So I, you know, what can you say to someone who, like myself, who do not like confrontation? How can I become a little bit more assertive?
It's just this one quote. It's one of my favorites. It's, what you allow is what will continue. And it's simple. You know, it's simple. What you allow is what will continue. And I looked at this as an opportunity. Here's the thing. I mean, what we do is we tell ourselves these stories about how the other person is going to respond to this. And that's part of the reason why I was afraid of being assertive. Oh, my gosh, they're going to think I'm a jerk, or it's going to escalate to a big fight. And I can say pretty much these are stories that are made up in our head to kind of keep us small. So I call it the wimpy voice that kind of is in your back. Mm-hmm. Don't do it. Just sit there and take it. It's not a big deal. Come on.
Right.
And I would listen
to
that voice. I'm like, yeah, sure. But as a result,
it's no biggie.
Part of my
it's
soul,
okay.
Yeah, come on. Why are you making a big deal out of this? Just kind of just sit there and suck it up. And as you suck it up, a part of your soul dies. And it's like eventually when this happens, what's so soul nourishing is to be able to have the guts to stand up and say, listen, I'm not okay with this, and here's why.
Right.
And if someone's your friend, they'll respect that. If someone's not your friend, it's still important that they know, so they're now on notice not to do that again. I think a lot of people aren't aware that their behavior affects you in that way, and if you're not assertive, they'll never know.
Yeah, and another quote I say, and then I hear it all the time, is that, you know, if nothing changes, nothing changes. And if the person is not clear on how you are feeling, they'll never know.
That's
and
absolutely right.
And so I've seen that in my own life. That and people, you know, obviously, and people say, "Well, I never knew you felt that way." And I'm like, "Okay," because I never told you. So
that's
a learning experience there. I'm a very emotional person. When I feel love, I feel love. I feel the emotions. I'm connected to emotions. I feel it when someone else is feeling sad. So how can you stop responding emotionally? That's a big question for me.
It's tough. I know. I'm very emotional too. I'm an emotional guy.
Okay.
I'm a passionate guy. I'm a fiery guy. You know.
Right.
But part of what helps with dealing with emotions is understanding them. And I think that's one of the things that we don't do. So being able to actually put a name to how you're feeling or what you're feeling. And some people can't do that. So I found that when people are highly emotional for whatever reason, so maybe it's because they get angry and they find themselves just jumping at something, you have to do something that we call breaking the pattern, whatever the pattern is. So we all have a feeling where you notice where you're feeling. Let's use what's called, I'm using air quotes even though you can't see me, negative emotions. emotions are kind of emotions. Let's just say they're negative for the sake of simplicity. So we're talking
because
about like
emotions
anger.
Aren't negative or positive. They're just
That's
messages.
Right.
They tell
messages.
You exactly where you are and how you're feeling in that moment. And I agree with you. So I'm seeing your air quotes, and I'm doing it along with you as well.
Yeah.
Okay, air quotes.
Yeah,
there we go. Okay.
Exactly. So what a lot of people consider negative emotions, like anger and sadness and jealousy or what have you, the question is what there's. It doesn't come out of the blue. So most people should be aware of when they're coming or when it's happening or when you can feel it coming. At the moment where you feel it, not before you get what's called an emotional hijacking, where it's too late, where the person's already out of control of the plane and you're fighting for your life. You still have control of the steering wheel. Mm-hmm. At that moment, the key thing is when you're aware of the fact that you're getting angry. This seems so simple, but this saved my life when I learned this, is to literally stop and breathe. And take a, not just breathe, just like the shallow breaths that people do when they're angry. Just take a deep breath. When you feel it happening, what it does is in your mind, it actually causes a reaction where it stops almost immediately, this feeling of taking you to that next step of anger or sadness, and you now get your rational brain back in control, and you're able to say, like, why am I feeling this way? A perfect example was this woman in the grocery store. I'm no sage. I'm learning this just like everyone else is. And I'm not going to sit here and say that I wasn't angry and upset when this woman was screaming at me, because it was unexpected. I was minding my own business trying to get myself some peaches from the store.
Right.
What I did is I leaned back on something and I took a deep breath. Because here's the reason why this is so important, Skip, is that in moments of high stress, and this is a game changer, at least it was for me, in moments of high stress, we will never act in what we're hoping is our best expectation of ourselves. We will always default back to the level of our training. Let me explain this for a second.
Okay,
so,
sure.
Yeah, and our high expectation, like the idea is someone's going to curse at me, and I'm going to be like, oh, I'm going to send them love. Let me send you love. That's my high expectation. I run the positivity solution for crying out loud. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to send them love.
Right.
That's my highest expectation. The reality is what happens is I default to the level of my training. So I'm going to go back to, like, all right, I'm angry, and I'm angry, and I'm going to start thinking, like, my training is to take a deep breath. So that's what I do. So I'm trained to do this. I've done this over and over again. That's why I tell people to practice this, to practice a deep breath, and you feel it. First, it's always hard before it's easy, right? So you start with a deep breath. Start with deep breath, and then it gets easier. Police officers are a perfect example, or let's use the military. The military, if someone's getting shot at, anyone who's ever been shot at before will tell you that this is true. They're not going to say, like, oh, when someone's shooting at me, time to turn into super secret agent mode right now. Like, that's not what happens. What happens, like, oh, my God, I'm being shot at. And they go back to their training of what they're supposed to do, and they go directly into how they need to cover, how they need to load their gun, the basic things that keep them alive. The brain does the same thing. It's geared to survive, so you have to train it by doing simple things like deep breath. So when I do it often, I automatically took my deep breath when this woman was calling me all sorts of names. I didn't even realize I was doing it, and I instantly got control of myself and was able to walk away with my held high. But I couldn't have done that if I didn't train myself.
Well, so what can you tell someone, and our listeners, and I get emails all the time, and they're, how do you give someone some encouragement about being positive when they're in a place of, I need a job, I need to pay my rent, I need to get to the workplace so I can be more positive in the workplace. So what can you tell someone who's going through just a simple place of they're trying to survive? And I always talk about this, that we got to learn how to get out of survival mode and get into the conquering mode. So what steps can people take to be more positive when the outcome does not look so positive?
This starts with one thing, and it all comes down to, all starts and begins with this. It's gratitude. And it's hard when people are struggling because they feel like there's this feeling of, I'll be happy when I get that. I'll be happy when I get the job. I'll be happy when I get out of this marriage. Mm-hmm. I'll be happy when I find true love. I'll be happy when I get some money. I'll be happy when I get some friends. So what happens is this happiness is something that is a state that they're always trying to get to, when you realize that you can't get more until you're okay with what you have. And this is where it all starts with gratitude. So I don't care what situation you're in. And we've all had bad situations where things have been horrible. But to find that level of gratitude, right now I'm going through a personal challenge. My dad, just a week and a half out, was diagnosed with cancer. And for me, he's like my motivation, my inspiration. He's the guy that pretty much has me. He's the most positive guy that I know, and he's the reason why I started this blog in the first place. And in moments where I'm in my darkest moments, I'm like, what can I be thankful for? What is it that I'm grateful for? Because what's interesting is once you have that shift, using the word, because it really is a shift, when you get that shift of gratitude to the point where you start realizing things they can be grateful for, what this does is it moves your vibration up. So you start seeing solutions where you only saw problems before, and you start looking at things like, hey, maybe there's solutions here where there was only problems. And it starts with being grateful. And I challenge anyone out there, I can't imagine anyone that can say, I have nothing to be grateful for. The fact that you're able to listen to this radio show right now means that you either have a computer or a smartphone or something that literally probably over 70%, maybe I'll say in third world countries don't even have that. They have nothing like that. And you're able to have that. So that's something to be grateful for. And start there.
Absolutely, and it starts and it ends, and it's all the way through. It weaves all the way through everything we do. Gratitude is key. How do you practice gratitude? What do you do? What do you do? And what's your practice of gratitude? Mine, in the morning, I get up and say thank you. I just say thank you. And so, what is your practice of gratitude?
My practice of gratitude is I do a couple of things. I start and end each day with three things that I'm thankful for. And I found this to be pretty powerful for me because I have, just like everyone, a lot of challenges in my life. So I make sure that I start off with the things that are really going well. Just the things that I'm thankful for. Three things I'm really thankful for. For example, This morning, I woke up, and I was extremely thankful for three things. One, I woke up at 3 in the morning, so I wake up early. I'm kind of an early bird. So, yeah. So, because I want to get up and get a start on the day before everyone else is awake. So I started up. I'm very thankful for the fact that I'm being called to speak on this show. I swear, this is one of my three things that I had. This be on the shift with Skip was one of the things I'm very thankful for, and share my message with people who have no idea who I am. Secondly, I'm thankful for the fact that I am able to wake up feeling energized. I woke up this morning feeling really good, and I'm thankful for that, because some mornings I don't, so I make sure to be very thankful of that. And third, I was thankful for the fact that I have some wonderful ideas for the book that I'm going to be writing. So, and I'm very thankful, and I wrote those things down. I started my morning, and I starting off with this gratitude journaling thing is such a huge thing. I also end the day with three things that I'm committing to do the following day. I have an app on my phone, Wunderlist, which keeps me organized. So I start off each night before I go to bed with three things I'm going to do for the next day. Maybe some more, but at least three. So it gives me focus for the next day too. So kind of the two things kind of go hand in hand. One of the things that I also do when things aren't going so well is, because that's a great way to start, but another gratitude practice that I do is that when things that aren't so great happen to me, I ask the question, I say to myself, why is this perfect for me? Why is this perfect for me? If I'm a powerful being, right, and I can draw things into my life, whether it's my dad's cancer, whether it's because I get into a car accident or anything like that, I stop and I'm like, why is this perfect for me? Like, what did I do to draw this into my life? And be grateful for the lesson that's coming. I mean, I know that there's something in it. And once I found that gratitude is part of your life, it almost, positivity almost comes, I want to say automatically, because I'm really grateful for the things that show up. And some things aren't great. Honestly, Skip, some things are not great. But I look at it from a state of like, you know what? That's okay. I'm going to get through this, and I'm grateful for the lesson that I'm going to learn because of it.
So, you know, I'm sure you apply this into your personal life, into your with your wife and your kids. You guys must have a real positive household.
You know, it's funny. I'm raising two positive daughters, and it's like it's an honor. It is like, I mean, my little girls, man. When they use words like, oh, you know, I can't, or that's not going to work. And I'm like, no, like you absolutely can make it work. A perfect example when I'm talking about positivity, like my girls are, you know, they say that, you know, their greatest challenges can be your greatest teachers. And I look at my daughter, she's 6 years old. She's a kindergartner, and she's almost done with her kindergarten year. And we're driving to work, we're talking about positivity, and I told her I was going to be on the show, and she's like, oh, that sounds fun, and she doesn't really understand what's going on, just humoring me, but she's like, you know, what are you going to talk about, what are you going to talk about on the show, and I said, you know what, baby?
Does she know who her dad is?
Yeah, it's like, she kind of knows that she sees my t-shirts, I wear them all the time, and I got one that's her size, and I told her, baby, I'm going to talk on the show about the same stuff that you're learning in kindergarten right now, like how to play nicely with each other, how to share, how to be respectful, how to be kind. And she laughed, and she's like, Daddy, people your age need to learn that too?
Like, yes. Yeah. In fact, it's harder for us to learn it in this age than it is her age. We're going to actually close down the show really soon, but I always ask my clients my host and my guest this, what does the shift mean for you this week, the shift?
Oh, man, there's so many different things, but I think the biggest shift that anyone can make is kind of what we talked about before, is the shift out of fear, the shift from fear to courage. And courage is not the absence of fear, because that's, it's just feeling the fear and doing it anyway, because there's everyone listening to this, including the guy who's talking and, of course, Skip, who's hosting, is we're all scared. Right?
Yes.
That's not the scares at all. There's no one. I mean, but the difference is that we choose to make the shift to transcend the fear by just doing it anyway. So I would highly recommend anyone, if you're talking about a shift that needs to be made, shift out of fear and just try something.
Shift out of fear.
I love that. Where can people get in contact with you and give us the rundown quickly before we close down the show?
Yeah, the easiest way, just go to thepositivitysolution.com. You know, if anyone wants to hit me up and ask me anything, or, you know, my contact information's on there. That's the easiest way to get a hold of me. And on Twitter, Facebook, the easiest way to find me is on thepositivitysolution.com.
And then they can get all that information right on your website. Dude, you are amazing. You are definitely, our producer said, he is going to blow your mind, and she was right. So thanks, Marie, for bringing you on. I'm so grateful for you, man.
Thank you.
The work you're doing. So, you know, my brother from another mother, thank you so much for sharing positivity on this radio show. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We're going to follow you, support you. And
thanks, Skip. I appreciate it.
All right, everybody, be the shift that you want to see in your own life. Peace and blessings, everyone. Talk to you soon. See you next week.
All right.